Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The city of Knoxville has a new fire chief. What's his experience? How does he feel about the position, the department, and what does he see in the future for the Knoxville Fire Department? Let's go in depth with Knoxville Fire Chief Jim Mitchell. So welcome home, Jim.
Thank you. It's good to be home.
How does it feel?
So far, it feels really, really pretty good. It's been a great welcome home by many. Just so happened to be my first week was homecoming week for the high school, and so I got to see a lot of people in the parade, and there was a lot of welcome home wishes, which I much appreciated.
Well, it just so happens that today is your official swearing-in day.
Correct.
How does that feel?
It'll be a good feeling. Absolutely.
That doesn't happen to people very often, getting sworn in as a fire chief.
Right. No. The last time I was sworn in was 14 years ago in Des Moines, Iowa, so as a firefighter. So as being sworn in as a fire chief is very special, very special.
Any way you can share with our listeners today what it feels like? What does it feel like not only being sworn in as fire chief, but being sworn in as fire chief of your hometown?
Right on. I would have to say it's extra special. Of course, this is the first time I've ever been sworn in as a fire chief, so that's always been my dream job. And I have to tell you, I've hit a home run. Not many people get the opportunity to be a fire chief, and much less in their hometown. So I just feel like I've hit a home run. It's a great feeling. I'm overwhelmed with the kindness that I've received being back in town, and looking forward to the future.
And so I suspect that you learned all kinds of things in your other positions. The only one I know about is Urbandale. Is that where you started? Did you spend some time down here too?
I was here for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was on both the rural and the city. I started on the rural back in, 84, and become a rescue-only member of the city fire department while I remained on the rural. And then I think it was in 88 when I transitioned just to the city fire department. And from there, I left here in, 1993, and I went to Urbandale. And I worked for Urbandale from 93 until just recently, and I've held about every position you could hold there. Started out as a fire lieutenant, and I coordinated all of their recruitment. And not just recruitment, but also the hiring and then training them, getting people trained at Firefighter 1 certification, Firefighter 2 certification, then having them go through the EMT basic. And we usually contracted that out with an outside agency. But I would follow up and make sure that their grades were good, they were on target, and achieved that certification as well. And then we'd put them on as full members. I also did some monthly training. We had training every week in Urbandale. It was on Tuesday nights, and we trained every week. So I got to be involved in that, scheduling that, and conducting some classes, which was fun. And then I became the EMS captain, and I coordinated some of the purchasing of new equipment, our protocols, how we give treatment, medications that we purchase, things like that. And that was fun. That was a great challenge. And then I became, we had a full-time training officer who held the rank of assistant chief. And he was in the military. He was in the National Guard and got deployed to Iraq. And his position with the National Guard was, he was a captain in charge of logistics. So he was responsible for getting everyone to Iraq and back home. His deployment was more than just a deployment overseas. They activated him first to coordinate all these things. He was gone for about 3 years. So while he was gone, he was absent. I filled his position and did that for like I said, 3 years. And then when he did come back, he was only there about a week and quit. So I held his position for 4 years until we found a replacement. In that time period from 93 to current date. In 2000, I got hired. I decided to make the jump, and I was a director of safety for a corporation, and I decided in 2000 to become a career firefighter. So I was fortunate enough to get hired by the city of Des Moines, and I've been a firefighter, paramedic, and hazmat technician for Des Moines Fire ever since then.
Well, it sounds like then you'll be prepared for most of what can happen in Knoxville.
I hope so. I believe I will be. I believe so. And if I don't, I have a group of great people that will help me with that. So I don't think there's anything that we can't handle as a team.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with new Knoxville Fire Chief Jim Mitchell. Any particular challenges that you see here as you move into Knoxville with the fire department, fire and rescue?
Nothing that's really out of the norm. I think that there's routine things that every fire department has. Obviously, with the growth of the Knoxville Fire Department, when I left in 93, we just peaked 600 runs a year. And last year, I believe they were at 1,400 runs,
wow.
And we're on target for 1,600 runs this year. So there's been a huge growth. And with that growth just comes some natural growing pains. Nothing earth-shattering. I think the former chief, Nick Bonstell, had put some things in place that were a very positive thing, not only for the fire department, but for the community as well. And if I can just keep his efforts, the momentum going, and I think we'll be on track.
I'm just guessing there's a number of elements that you're thinking about regularly. Training, personnel, equipment. Am I missing anything?
No, you're right on target. I've reviewed all of our equipment. We have good equipment, probably some of the best ambulances that you can purchase. We have great fire trucks. One fire truck is older. It's a 91. And most departments usually, that's about the life expectancy that you could expect out of a fire engine. And I think that we're probably ready, when we are ready to replace that, we might look at maybe even a ladder truck. I think this community's probably ready for a ladder truck. But that might be a few years off. The truck still runs good and still pumps a lot of water and works well for us. Staffing is always an issue. I think nationwide, volunteerism's down. And that's not just impacted PTOs and church groups. It's also impacted the fire service as well. So that'll be an ongoing issue. However, we have a group of good people that regularly step up and fulfill the needs of the community. So, but I want to closely monitor that, make sure that we're on target and that we're providing the best service that we can.
Well, I'm pretty familiar with the department, and you've got some good seasoned veterans, people that know a lot, and it's always nice to come in too and see that there's some young people here too.
Right. One program that Knoxville has that we couldn't get off the ground in Urbandale is a cadet program. And I think the members should be, and I think they are very proud of that, where they go to the school. And I believe you have to be 16 years old to be eligible for membership. But they put these cadets through the same training, some of the same training that a new firefighter would go through. And they're ambitious, they're eager, they're passionate, and they help us. They're good help. They can do pretty much anything outside of going into a fire. So they can help with hose work. They can help with a lot of different elements, filling air bottles, making sure that air bottles get changed. They're a benefit to us on the fire ground.
Well, they are. You know, their eyes just light up when there's a call and they get to go out.
It's absolutely
pretty neat.
They're very passionate, and that's exactly what we need. I think most people that get involved in the fire service, especially at a volunteer level, they are passionate about the fire service. And that kind of separates the volunteer fire service and the career fire service, because as we all know, it's very easy just to look at any job as just a job. And when you're volunteering, you're here because you want to be here. And that's exactly the situation with not just our cadets, but our members as well.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with new Knoxville Fire Chief Jim Mitchell. And the building. The building's good?
Building's in good shape. However, I believe the building was built in 81. I remember when it was built. I was in high school, believe it or not. And it's in good shape. However, as you can tell, we've somewhat outgrown it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, the bays are full, and we have two people stay overnight, sleep overnight here, or try to sleep overnight, but are available to answer calls. And we've set some beds up in the back hallway, so that's not really an ideal situation. But we're bulging the walls a little bit, but it's a terrific building, and it's in good shape.
You have to be thinking about the future. You just can't think about is your training adequate for now? Is your staffing levels adequate for now? Are your equipment adequate for now? Is your building? You have to think about all of those things 10 years down the road.
10 years down the road, absolutely. And hopefully, with some big dreams of not just mine but the rest of the members, I think we're ready to step into that. That mode of planning 10 years down the road. I'm not sure we was there before, but I think we are now.
And I just picked that number out of hat, 10. Is that?
Yeah,
that...
I think a 5-year strategic plan would be a good start, and domino that into a 10-year development. Sure.
Now, what does the general public not know about this fire department that you'd like them to know?
Boy, that's a good question. I think our fire department has been very visible to the community. And this isn't true in all communities I've found, but in this community, people are interested in the fire department. And if they don't know, they find out. So I think the community really does know their fire department. The one thing that I think they probably know this, but the level of commitment that's here, both fire and EMS. These people are overly committed. We get work out of these people that most businesses don't get out of people that they pay. And that's, to me, that's astonishing. That's amazing that we can do that. And it's not anything that we pull out of them. They offer it up. So they're committed. The level of commitment's unbelievable here.
How can we, members of the community, help this department grow and prosper?
Well, I think simply paying attention, listening to radio shows, reading the city's website, I think understanding what our goals are and what they will be in the near future, and helping support those needs, those wants. There's equipment out there that we could purchase that costs a lot of money that would help our membership as far as labor hours. For example, they make a automatic CPR machine, for lack of better definition. There's a couple different devices out there, manufacturers, but this device actually fits on top of the chest and delivers chest compressions. I'm familiar with it through the city of Des Moines. We trialed it at my station where I work, and our survival rate increased by 47% just since we started using this automatic CPR device. Those are huge numbers. That's to increase your survival rate of a person that is breathless and pulseless by 47% is amazing, outrageous even. So it benefits not only our patients, but it also benefits because you don't have one person standing up in the back of the ambulance giving chest compressions while we're driving down the road. It's unsafe. And it's continuous. We don't have to pause and stop CPR when we pass through a doorway because the patient and the person doing chest compressions doesn't fit through the doorway. This thing's all the time, constantly delivering chest compressions. So there's some items like that that the community could really help us and support us on. That's one of many things that I think that could be coming down the pipe later on that I think the community will support us. My experience 20 years ago, I can remember when we first started talking about automatic defibrillators, and at that time we wanted to buy two defibrillators, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, each defibrillator was like $6,000. $12,000 in 1988 was a lot of money. So we fretted about whether or not we would be able to raise that kind of money. And we not only raised that kind of money, we more than doubled it. People came out of the woodwork. I think this community, I believe in my heart that we have full support of the community, have had all along. Maybe there's been some hiccups since I left, but I hope the community knows the level of commitment that's here. And I know I'm committed. I'm not leaving. I'm here for the long haul, and we're going to make we'll develop a department that is very much customer focused and mission driven, and I've got a lot of good people that support that concept and always looking for more, always. So I think the community can help us by just supporting our goals. And we'll make them known.
Your family coming in for the swearing in tonight?
My immediate family. My freshman has a football game tonight, so they'll be there at Valley Stadium cheering him on. But my father will be here. I believe one of my sisters will be here, and they'll get to enjoy that with me. So that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Okay. So tonight will be a proud moment.
Tonight's a proud moment for me. Absolutely. I believe it will be for my dad, too. You know, he has a fire service background and a law enforcement background, I believe that this is a good day for both he and I.
Thanks to Jim Mitchell for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.